Reynolds.
Who is Joffrey Reynolds?
Running back, Calgary Stampeders.
Be sure to follow Mac on Twitter at MacJMorey25.
4 touchdowns, drops a 40 burger on me.
This is your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's the man, the myth, the Mac.
All right, it's here. 9 a.m. on a Sunday, the opening NFL Sunday slate. Leave that Chiefs game behind. That was Friday. Today's Sunday. We're here to have some fun. We're here to win some fantasy football. Week one of many ahead of us, folks. Happy Sunday morning to you on 96.5 The Fan. This is Fantasy Football Sunday, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. I will be with you for the next hour until 10 o'clock. Jay Binkley will lead you for the next couple hours after that. Me and him will talk some football. We'll talk some Chiefs. We'll talk some KUMU to start his show. But until then, we live in a fantasy. We're scoring points. We're working with a tight end that we didn't want. But hey, we're making it work in our heads. We're convincing ourselves this will be good. Our running back two isn't what we wanted, and he's questionable to start today. But hey, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's only week one. Excited to do the next hour with you guys. Text line 913-586-7965 to be a part of the show. I hope you are. The last 20 minutes of the show or so will just be you guys. I mean, it'll be start or sit, and I'll have questions just from the text line that I will be answering. So make sure you send in your text messages throughout the show. And Mustard, my wonderful producer, Jacob Mustard, who's with me today, will be kind of going through those and copying them and making sure that they work together. Sorry, my headphones are just terrible. So I'm going in and out here. Okay, we'll see if that sticks to it. All right, let's start with some max matchups, okay? So we're going to be doing matchups throughout the whole first 30, 40 minutes of the show. So usually the first segment that I do with you guys, the first 10 or 15 minutes on these Sundays, will be waiver wire stuff, kind of be the fantasy sleeper of the week, who I think maybe you could poach off your waiver wire still, even on a Sunday morning, depending on how hardcore or casual your fantasy football league is. I'll try to give all my advice as kind of as transient as I can to kind of make it, okay, is it a PPR? Is it half PPR? Are you in an auction league? Are you in a snake draft? Like whatever it is, 10-man, 12-man, please put all your questions in and give me context when you do text us in at 913-586-7965. Let's get to it. We've got a lot of matchups today. Again, the first 4 weeks of fantasy football are when we really need to capitalize, guys. Our teams are the healthiest they're going to be. If you start 3-1 and your fellow teammates start 2-2, 1-3, you eventually, not just by record, of course, you have the advantage of your game, 2 games, 3 games up. But more than that, your roster, just from a perception standpoint, looks so much better. Even though you're smart, you're the 3-1 team. You know what's right. You know what's real. You can poach people. You can trade. You can sell high. You can buy low. These are the things that we're going to work on throughout the whole fantasy football season to make sure you can win the most games that you can win. Let's start it up, boy. Give me a... And Jacob, if you find that NFL themes that I showed you the other day on the YouTube, you can play that under us here for the first segment. Let's start with Dolphins-Colts. This is not a game that has me titillated right now. This is not a game that gets my adrenaline pumping, but it's the first game of the season for both these teams, so we can find some angles here, okay? I'm scared of the Dolphins fantasy-wise. I don't think this is going to be a good team. I didn't know how to really evaluate their offseason. They changed their whole offensive structure. If you did not know that, here we go. Mike McDaniel, he's the guy who runs quick motions, and he has small, fast players, and they get down the field really quickly. They're an air raid type of offense, right? He's changing all of that. He wants to be ground and pound. He wants to have big dudes. He wants to be girthy. He doesn't have the roster for that. If you didn't know, he's still got Waddle. He's still got Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane. Those are his weapons. But the complete offensive system and the structure of which they're working now under is under the philosophy that, hey, we're going to hit people hard. We're going to be, grit and grind type of mentality. I don't know if that's really going to work for them. It's going to be interesting to see them try and put it out on the field, but we'll see if it ends up actually working for them. So that's an interesting note when you think about what the Dolphins have done this offseason. But if you drafted one of their top three weapons, you should probably be starting them, right? If you went with Achane, if you're confident in Waddle, if you think Tyreek Hill has another year under him that he can be productive, then yeah, you should go for it. That should be something that you have to start because it's the Colts defense. Miami had a league low 3 passing touchdowns from outside the red zone last year. When we talk about what the Dolphins do well, it's explosive plays, right? It's getting to the line of scrimmage as quick as they can. It's pre-snap motion. It's trickery. It's window dressing. None of that came to fruition last year. Again, 3 passing touchdowns from outside the red zone compared to 10 in 2022, 13 in 2023. Tua only attempted 27.1% of his passes 10 or more yards down the field. That ranks 34th in the league. 10 or more yards, not 15, not 20. We're talking about just getting a pass down past the first down marker. That was less than 30% of the time. Barely over a quarter of the time he did that, 34th in the league. Yeah, there's only 32 teams. Your math is right. If you need wide receiver help on the other side, Pittman, you can make a case for him. This is going to be one of the worst secondaries in the league in Miami. Okay, that's what we do know. On paper, this secondary is going to be Swiss cheese. Daniel Jones, this is another guy who has not thrown the ball down the field. Get this, 8.7% of his career throws have gone over 20 yards down the field. Of his whole throws in his career, less than 10% have gone over 20 yards down the field. So it doesn't scream great news for our guys like Josh Downs or Alec Pierce, who make money getting to that second level, right? They're guys who can break an ankle and get to the second level with their speed and their agility. I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be able to utilize that. A bigger bodied wide receiver like Michael Pittman may be able to find a crease here or there. I think Pittman, you could at least make a case for today. But again, that's a matchup that I don't love. Steelers, Jets. I'm very in on Justin Fields this season in fantasy football, okay? But here's the deal. Let me talk to you. This is a rough first matchup for him, man. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the team that he just came from, not only the Pittsburgh Steelers going to be a great defense as they always are, he just played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They know him. He started 6 games, I think it was, last season to start the year. They know all of his tendencies. They know what he likes to do. They know where he's comfortable. This is a game that I don't like Justin Fields in. Now, the rest of the season, absolutely. This is a guy who could still run for 750, 800 yards on the ground. Like, he's one of the best running quarterbacks the league's ever seen. As I see Aaron Rodgers walk in his Pittsburgh Steelers sweatshirt and his backpack on, he'll have his first day in Pittsburgh. I'm scared of the Steelers offense because of Aaron Rodgers. Mainly DK Metcalf today scares me because he's going to be against Sauce Gardner. If you drafted Jalen Warren or if you're Caleb Johnson hopeful, I got tough news for you. This is a defensive line and a linebacker core in New York and the green that are going to be mean. And they're not going to have a lot to decipher from a defensive perspective. This is a Steelers offense. Any offense with Aaron Rodgers right now, just pretty straight up. They're going to run out of shotgun. They're not going to run the ball a whole lot. And Aaron Rodgers is running the offense. And that's great. There's going to be some fun plays in there. Rodgers can still spin it. But we've watched Aaron Rodgers for 20 years, and Mike Tomlin has specifically. He knows what Rodgers wants to do. I don't like really either offense in this matchup. Could see it being a low-scoring game. If you've got Garrett Wilson as a must-start on your fantasy team, we've got to talk. We've got to figure this out. This is not going to be the year you want him. Breece Hall, Justin Fields, I like it. I can work with you. We can figure this out this year. If you're counting on Garrett Wilson to be a wide receiver 2 for you, or God forbid a 1, we've got to figure that out. Let's find a trade. Panthers, Jags, kind of the opposite, right? I'm in on both these teams fantasy-wise. We just went from 2 teams where this is going to be a rough matchup, good defenses. These are 2 teams that have bad defenses, especially the Carolina Panthers are not going to be able to cover or get to the quarterback. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they have some hopefuls, right? We like Joshua Hines Allen as a pass rusher. He may win some reps. Travis Hunter, he's a question mark. I said on Fesco and Dusty a few months ago, he's going to be the biggest bust the NFL's ever seen. I think that he could maybe have some production on the offensive side, but I don't think he'll do very well on the defensive side. Personally, that leads me to Tet McMillan. I know it's his first day. I know he's a rookie, but they drafted him. Me and Jacob were talking off the air. Mustard said it. They drafted him 5th overall for a damn reason, right? They like Xavier Leggett. He showed that he could do real well, eating the squirrel, eating the raccoon, whatever he likes to indulge in. He's killing it last year. He's a good wide receiver number 2. They got rid of Adam Thielen. Hey, listen. I'm not going to say his nickname or his posse that supports him, but if you're a Jalen Coker fan, let's go. Let's go, baby. Jalen Coker's season has started. Again, I will not use his verbiage for his fan club on the 96.5 The Fan Airways. You're home for Chiefs football, but Jalen Coker, a guy that I could make a case for in a 12-man league or a dynasty league, something like that. Someone to keep an eye on for today. Tet McMillan's
not
a starter.
To cut you off, but yeah. Is Coker playing?
It's a good question. Yeah, I guess I should double check that. We should get to the injury report as well. If you want to get on Adam Schefter's Twitter too, Mustard, just to double check on guys like that. Let's see, Jalen Coker, is he playing week one? Latest on his status, we'll get to you on that, on if Coker's going to play. That is huge. I mean, honestly, and if you're talking about Tet McMillan or Leggett, that kind of even just raises their stock a little bit, right? Because it's less targets for him. So we'll get you Jalen Coker's availability here in a little bit as Mustard finds that. But either way, Panthers, Jags. So Jags, yeah, Travis Hunter. I mean, if you drafted him this year, you probably have to start him. If you don't, I still probably would, unless your wide receivers are great. Okay. I think this is a matchup that you probably have to do it.
And friends and her boy.
Yeah, so I love the ads on YouTube. Woo!
Sorry about that. No, I do. Coker is going to be starting on the IR.
Oh, on the IR. Okay. Well, there you go. This is why we're here on Fantasy Football Sundays, why we've got Mustard here, and it's why you've got Adam Schefter's Twitter open. There's so many moving pieces to today. Like, if you didn't just see, it looks like Christian McCaffrey did go through walkthroughs yesterday. He is trending to be a go today. Complete nonsense coming out of San Francisco. It's total baloney. It's hogwash. In whatever direction this goes, right? Let's say McCaffrey looks great today. I don't really give a rip. This is BS, what the San Francisco 49ers are doing. That's a separate tangent. And Xavier Worthy, some good injury news there that we saw from Adam Schefter, now that I'm thinking about it, is that shoulder. It looks like it wasn't anything broken or anything. I think the correct verbiage was that he could come back with a brace possibly in the next couple weeks. They're still looking for some results as far as MRIs and scans and things like that. But it looks like Xavier Worthy, instead of being a season-ending injury, it looks like at least for now it could be hopeful that it was just a shoulder separation. He could be out, could be back in the next couple of weeks here. So we'll keep an eye on all the sorts of injury news that we see as the day goes on, because that's what we need to know too, right? We've talked about knowing your rules in your league, knowing who's healthy, knowing who's playing, and even trending in the right direction. If you've seen someone not dealing with something throughout the week, and you've got another guy who's around the same tier, same level of player, and he hasn't been dealing with something, okay, maybe lean towards the guy who you know is fully healthy. And yeah, a dislocated shoulder is the correct verbiage there for Xavier Worthy. It looks like that's what he suffered on Friday, a dislocated shoulder. So there's hope that he could return sometime this season with a brace. All right, let's carry on here as we go to the Panthers, or to the Cardinals and the Saints. Everyone's a smash here in Arizona. Kyler Murray plays like a beast early on in the season. He just does. Early on in the year, Kyler Murray looks like what someone would have wanted Kyler Murray to look like throughout his whole career. Someone who drafted him in the top five, they would have thought, okay, this is who Kyler Murray is. And he's really this way for the first 6 weeks of the season and against teams below 500. That's who Kyler Murray looks great against, right? AKA just bad teams. He completed over 70% of his passes while playing with a lead last year. So if he's playing against a rough team, against a team that he's just going to walk on, he's going to do well. He's going to be on easy mode. He's going to run around. He's going to take his short little strides and chuck it, hopefully, to Marvin Harrison Jr. The Saints got rid a lot of their better players on secondary. They just don't have a lot of their good players anymore. Either they got rid of them, or Tyrann Mathieu, he retired. If you're in a 2QB league, you could convince me that maybe Spencer Rattler could be a start. This is a defense in Arizona that I know a lot of people are hopeful for. They showed some improvement last season. I'm not sold on it yet. I don't know why I should be sold on it yet as far as this Cardinals defense, but it is the Saints. Start Kamara for sure. You could convince me in a 2QB league that Spencer Rattler could be fine. I think he threw five touchdowns, four picks last year in the small sample size that we got to see him in. But Rattler, kind of like Michael Penix, when we'll get to Michael Penix later on in the show about whether you can start or sit him or what the outlook on the Falcons offense is in general. Similar to Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler does like to chuck it down the yard. So there could be a Rashid Shaheed 50-yard bomb if you're in a deep league and need just a one-catch boomer bust type situation.
Man, I had Rashid Shaheed in a 32-man league.
Oh,
he brought
God.
Out points.
Sicko! Seek help. Jesus. My goodness, 32. I'm in a 20-man league, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, first time I'm with Kramer. I think Drew Nixon's in it. JT's in it. Our wonderful JT Noah's in it. Yeah, 20-man league. I'm lost there. 32. Who? We got a sicko over there in the back and Jacob Mustard. Let's keep going here.
The first time I did it, I had Kyler Murray, his breakout year. He won me that whole league when he dropped like 400 fantasy points.
That's fantastic. That's what I mean. 32 10-man league. You've got that. You're probably winning it, right? Like that's happening. We'll carry on here with matchup slate as we go through the whole day. Remember, text in your starter sit questions. We've already got one from the 816. We've got a couple more coming in as they see. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line phone number. Make sure you text in your questions. The whole last 20 minutes of the show will be dedicated to you and your starter sit questions. So make sure you get those in. We'll carry on here for a couple more minutes with the matchups. Until we get to the other side, we'll continue with even the bigger games. I've got some key guys that I want to tell you about on the other side. But first, Titans Broncos. I talked about this on my Sunday Scaries video, which, by the way, every Sunday morning, find my Sunday Scaries video on the Twitter page, TheFan965, as well as our Instagram page, TheFan965. It's kind of just me letting you know a guy or two that I think, hey, we all love this guy before the season, but today, on this particular matchup, steer clear. Calvin Ridley was one of those guys. I loved him. I talked to you all about him. And now here I am week one, steer clear. You're like, hey, what the hell, dude? You just told me to draft this guy. Listen, I get it. He's going against Pat Surtain. He's going against this Denver Broncos defense that's just going to be elite. I hate to say it here in Kansas City. We don't like the way Friday went. Don't like the way that defense looked on Friday. The defense for Denver ain't going to look like that, okay? They're going to look real good on all three levels. And Cam Ward in his first start, that's a lot to deal with. I think he'll have some flashes. He'll have some nice throws, but this is not a Cam Ward day for me. This is not a Calvin Ridley day. If you were in desperation mode, I would maybe, you know, Elik Ayemaner would maybe have some more work because he's going to be the second. But if you're starting one of those, do you start Calvin Ridley over Elik Ayemaner? He's the rookie wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans who is going to be in the starting lineup. He is starting at wideout for the Tennessee Titans. That's maybe a guy that down the line, I like him a lot. But yeah, Calvin Ridley's a guy I'd steer clear of if you have other options. Today's just not his day.
Quick news from Schefter. Yes. Looks like, speaking of down the line, Quinshon Judkins could play as early as next Sunday.
Okay.
And Kyler Murray woke up and is added to the injury report with an illness this morning.
But he's going to be fine,
expected,
right?
To
yeah,
play.
He's going to be fine. Okay. They just, unlike the Niners, they're actually being forthright, and they're being honest, and they're doing what they're supposed to do and following the rules. So good job, Arizona. Kyler Murray will be fine today. No issues there. He's still a smash start, as is Marvin Harrison and James Conner. So with the Broncos side of things, again, Broncos a team that I have not loved from a fantasy perspective. I think Bo Nix is a solid start most weeks, especially in a 2QB league, is a smash start. In a 1QB league, we could talk about it. Again, that's why you sit in your start-sit questions at 913-586-7965. Cortland Sutton's the only wideout that I'd start there. Evan Engram is a great start today. Last season, the Titans were god-awful against tight ends. I don't know how much that'll change, right? So many things are new. So much about teams are different. I mean, a 53-man roster sees at least 20 or 30 guys just turned over. 20 guys right off the bat, that's a turnover. You're losing, you know, 40%-ish of your roster year to year. So, yeah, I don't know if the Titans, we'll see. But that defense, I mean, this is a guy who lived in Nashville. You're talking to a guy who lived in Nashville for the last 10 years. Spoke to some people close to the team this last week. The offense will be fun, which is good for us in fantasy. But what I heard from two different people who are, again, close to the team, will be at the game today. That defense is going to be really bad. Really, 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 really bad. So that's what I heard from some inside sources over there in Nashville. So how do we use that to our advantage? Okay, Denver, great. I don't know if I like RJ Harvey, but against the Titans today, I think I do. Let's start him. He's a rookie. It's week one. And I think there's a good chance they'll be up by a couple scores and could be running the football with their new rookie running back. That's it for the first segment on matchups. We'll come back with some more max matchups. We'll be talking Lions, Packers, Texans, Rams is a huge one. Bengals, Browns, I think there's a surprise there that you may not be thinking about. Bucks and Falcons was one of the bigger fantasy games twice last season as far as a avalanche of points. We could see that again today. So make sure you stay locked into Fantasy Football Sundays right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to come back with more matchups. We're ending the show with start or sit as we will every Sunday right here from 9 to 10 on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Chiefs football.
It's time for Max Matchups.
You know, I haven't swiped right on 500 men.
This is Fantasy Football Sunday with Mac Morey on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Haven't swiped right? Probably won't anytime soon. Let's keep it going here on a Sunday morning. So glad to be here with you on 96.5 The Fan Fantasy Football Sunday with you until 10 a.m. I'll hand it off to the Binkster. Let me tell you something, Mustard. And I'll talk with him. I think he's debuting a segment with me today. We'll talk together for 10 or 15 minutes about football, about everything. All right, but for the next 30 minutes or so, 40 minutes or so, it's just fantasy football with you guys. Make sure you're a part of the show. I will be ending with starter sit. So 913-586-7965 is the J Southland Tow Service text line number. And again, this show brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. We were going through some different matchups there, talking to you about Cardinals and Saints, telling you how good Kyler Murray is against bad teams. And I was teasing a couple of things there, including Bucks-Falcons, because Bucks-Falcons last year was heavenly if you were a fantasy owner. Darnell Mooney, if you had Drake London, Baker. Hell, Kirk Cousins, when he was still there, was killing it. His two games, he threw for almost 1,000 yards in his two games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, let me tell you something. The Buccaneers' secondary isn't going to be as bad as it was last year, but it's still rough. The Bucs need their third-round pick out of Kansas State, Jacob Parrish, to step up. That's the Wildcat. They need to step up on the outside, covering some wide receivers. If he doesn't, it could be just as bad as it was last year. So Mayfield, going to the Bucs offensive side, he was incredible last year. I don't think he's going to have the same statistical year that he did this season, but this Falcons defense, he could start out like that, right? Even with the injuries that they have for the season, I don't think Mayfield is the smash start, is the optimistic outlook that everyone seems to have with him. In droves, I'm a little bit more cautious because of the Wirfs injury, because of no Chris Godwin to start the season, because Cade Otton's dealing with injury. Like, there are things with the Bucs that makes you say, okay, maybe Baker Mayfield's not going to come out here and throw for 4,500 yards or whatever it is again. But in this particular game, I hate the Falcons defense. And even with the draft capital that they used towards this year, like, I know they've got my guy out of Tennessee on the edge rush, and James Pierce Jr. Like, they've got some pieces, but I don't think they're going to come to fruition week one. And for Penix, to the other side with the Falcons, the stats weren't great for Penix last year when he completed he completed less than 0% of his passes with 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. I think that less than 60% of his passes with just 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in his few starts last year. But I think this is a year that he will do well. If you look at his yards per attempt, they were near double digits. This is a guy who likes to throw it around the yard. He came in out of nowhere last season. They've done some work on the offensive roster that I like rather than the defensive roster where I can't really defend the guys that they're working with, but he's going to chuck it around the field, man. And both Kirk Cousins and a little bit of Michael Penix, who we saw against this Bucs secondary, they both did well. They both did well in their times that they had to show against this. So I think if you look at what the Falcons did last year, they're going to stick to a lot of that game plan. Bijan Robinson's going to run up and down this Bucs defense. Hopefully when they get in the red zone, you see Michael Penix run around a little bit. Maybe he finds some green grass for 6. But he's definitely going to be trying and chucking it in pay dirt to either Drake London or Darnell Mooney. I think this is a high-scoring game. I really do. Especially with the Bucs' injuries on offense. This is a top 7 unit for Tampa Bay. But with the injuries, it's a first game. It's at Atlanta. It's a divisional opponent. Could see maybe a little slower start than we usually do these last couple of years, at least for Tampa Bay. Let's go over to the Giants and Commanders. I'm very hot on the Commanders regressing this season. Too many things went right for Washington last year. It was the Hail Mary against Caleb Williams. It was every old defensive player that they signed in a one-year contract just killing it. And they re-signed all those old guys again. They're the oldest team in the National Football League. I think they're the oldest team in the NFL in the last 16 years. 16 or 17 years. There hasn't been an older team than the Washington Commanders this season. And here's some more signs to regression. Jaden Daniels was just, he was stupidly good last season. 59, almost 60% of his throws in the end zone were touchdowns. 22 of 37. When he threw to the end zone, there was a 60% chance it was caught for a touchdown. The only one better than him last year was the guy who you maybe could have said should have won MVP in Lamar Jackson, the two-time MVP winner.
Do you think that comes, though, with a percentage of, say, a linebacker or maybe two playing spy, where you can kind of count on him maybe having still maybe not a 60%, but maybe still 40%?
I think so. I think he'd still be a great clip. Like, he's still got Terry McLaurin, who he had 10 touchdowns last year. It felt like every catch he had was for six. Deebo Samuel, overrated player to me, one of the more overrated players in the NFL, but still a guy who could help them in the red zone. So, yeah, I think there's still a chance, especially with his legs, the ability to extend a play, make a guy miss. Daniels is still a good start. I'm just saying, if you're counting on him taking another step up statistically in fantasy, I don't see it. I don't see it for you this year. When you talk about specifically just the Commanders and their scoring, I think that is all going to tick down. He's still a smash start, but I don't love it as much as I did. Again, there's multiple stats when you talk about Giants and Commanders that'll make you go, ugh. It just feels like a regression. And then you add on to the fact that, yeah, they added Laremy Tunsil. That offensive line on paper should be better. They're facing what could be the best defensive line in football in the New York Giants this year. Russell Wilson, he's going to have some good moments today. We mentioned the Commanders' slow, old defense. I think Malik Nabers will be able to pick that apart a little bit. Russell Wilson will have a nice moon ball or two. I like the main fantasy starters in this matchup. I don't really have a hot take, but the D-line for that Giants could wreak some havoc. I wouldn't start Bill Merritt yet, Bill Kroski Merritt. Let's wait on that. Let's wait a week. It just feels all over the place with him. The fantasy nerds have gotten a little too hot, so let's chill just a little bit on that. Let's carry on. Bengals, Browns. 1-8 the last 3 years are the Bengals in the first 3 weeks to start the season. 1-8. But that's going to change. Things are starting to shift over there in Cincinnati in the way that they know they're on the hot seat, right? Zach Taylor knows he can't keep effing around, or else he will find out if he keeps losing games early on in the season. They played the end of the preseason. They played the beginning and the end of the preseason with their starters. They're a smash today, especially with Higgins on the field with Chase. This team with Higgins and Chase together averaged 8.2 yards per pass play. When Higgins was off the field and it was just Chase, 6.5. It's a massive, massive jump when they have T. Higgins on the field. Joe Burrow has not been great in his career against Cleveland. I'm not saying today he's going to go out and wipe that all away, but a little bit I am. I think today they're going to come out and want to step their foot on the gas, man. They are going to want to curb stop the Cleveland Browns. They are pissed about the way their season ended last year. They're pissed about the way their seasons start every season. They're going to rectify that. I think they've done the correct steps to put themselves in a position today where they should have some success against what is a bottom five team. The Browns, I don't know what you're doing with the Cleveland Browns guys in fantasy football. I really don't. I don't like Joe Flacco. Am I missing something here, Mustard? I mean, you just mentioned Judkins isn't going to play today. So Jerome Ford could maybe be a start.
Yeah, it's between Jerome Ford, but mainly the main targets on offense you're debating between is going to be Jerry Jeudy yep. and David Njoku.
Yep, those are your two guys. And if you drafted them, there's a good chance you're playing Njoku today. You have to play Njoku if you're if you drafted him. Like, that's obvious. He's a tight end. But, like, yeah, this is a bad defense, so I guess you could... I'm grossed out by starting a Cleveland Brown. If you can't tell, I'm grossed out by having a Cleveland Brown in my starting lineup. Part of what we talked about these last few weeks is have guys on good teams, not necessarily have good players. I think that's a misconception with fantasy football. These players don't need to be good. They need to be on good teams.
Yeah, and it's like kind of going back to the running backs. The best chance for a running back to put up big points is being in a good offense inside the 10-yard line, because that's where most of their touchdowns or majority of points are coming. Look at James Cook last year. So, yeah, Jerry Jeudy has yep. all the talent in the world, but if Joe Flacco only throws 18, 20 exactly. times, how many of those are going to be to him, and how many are going to be good completed passes for yards?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're dealing with. This is the yin and the yang of fantasy football. Well, Jerry Judy's actually a really good player. Did you see the last year, in the last 6 weeks, he led the... Yeah, dude, I don't care. Their offensive line sucks. They don't have a good offensive coordinator. That head coach is going to be fired after the season in Stefanski. Sorry, two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski. Bengals are winning today. I've got money on it as well. Bengals are winning today. How about Jacob Mustard's Patriots, baby? It's time.
It is.
I'm hot on the Pats this season, Mustard. I've got them making the playoffs. I've got them winning 9 games, and I love Drake May. I love Drake May. He's so underrated to me at this point. Let me tell you why. He took over for the Patriots in Week 6. He completed 67% of his passes. With, you knew who he threw to last year. No one.
Do you want names?
Yeah, give us the names, please.
So, I mean, his main target was DeMario Douglas or Hunter Henry. Then you had Javon Baker and Jalen Polk, both picks that got benched.
Just kidding.
You were relying on 7th round, former 1st round grade prospect, and Kayshon Booty. And Tyquan Thornton, who got released halfway through the season and is now on the Chiefs.
Yep, that is who Drake May, as a rookie, was working with. Coming into Week 6, being thrown into that with a terrible offensive line and a head coach that is no longer even in the National Football League.
Well, the whole reason they didn't want to start Drake May is because they didn't want him to die behind the offensive line. They're like, yeah, Jacoby Brissett's a sacrifice.
Exactly. So he completed 67% of his passes. That would have ranked 11th in the NFL. 6.8 pass yards per attempt, which is lower. That's 24th. In the league. But again, we just gave you all the reasons why that number is the way that it is. And then a 4.5% touchdown rate. Again, the fact that he's even in the middle of the pack on his touchdown rate per throw is incredible. They completely renovated the O-line. They added Stephon Diggs. They added a great head coach in Mike Vrabel. Like, they have all the pieces for being the team that steps up and takes a huge, huge, huge jump this season.
Don't forget Josh McDaniels.
And then they added an offensive coordinator who has, when he's at OC, when he's calling plays, he's shown consistent success over the last 2 decades. Josh McDaniels is a good offensive coordinator, just is. He's a crappy guy. He's a crappy head coach, all the things.
He just can't be a winning head coach unless you let him record practices.
that's it. Denver knows that too well. Lions, Packers, we're almost done here again. When we come back from the break in the next few minutes, we'll be doing starter sit for the last 20 minutes of the show. We will be answering your questions. So make sure you text me them 913-586-7965. I'm going to cruise through these last few games. Niners, Seahawks. It's question marks. I think CMC is going to play. I love Sam Darnold today. This is a secondary in the 49ers that took a little bit of a hit. I don't think they're going to be as bad of a team as they were last year. But I like Sam Darnold. I like Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Start Cooper Kupp if you need to today. And Torrey Horton's a guy in deep leagues that I've been talking about for weeks that maybe not today. Again, a rookie who's their third wide receiver. But he beat out MVS as the third wide receiver in Seattle. He just did. He's going to be their third wide receiver over there. And Torrey Horton, another guy I like. I think that could be another game. Maybe not high scoring, but this is low, mid 20s. This is 24-27. This is 24-21. There's going to be touchdowns in this game. So we want a part of that. Lions, Packers, Goff, not going to have the year that he had last year. Again, he was incredible. That whole offense was amazing. They lost Ben Johnson. They lost 2 starting offensive linemen right off the bat. And they lost 8 coaches in general, coordinators, position coaches. So that leads me to like Gibbs and Montgomery way more than I have in the past. Obviously, we've always loved those two guys, but even more this year, I think they're a smash. Goff has gone down a little bit in my mind. And the Packers secondary, though, is rough. If you are thinking about Jared Goff, the Packers secondary is not great. They will be able to get to the quarterback now with Micah Parsons, but they don't have corners or safeties that we'd love to speak of over there in that back half. Texans and Rams. Stroud was worse than Jordan Love in fantasy last year. Everyone likes to just completely poop on Jordan Love, and he was terrible. He was injured all last year. C.J. Stroud wasn't. He was worse by a whole 2 points. Jordan Love was around 15 points a game. C.J. Stroud was around 13 points a game. This Texans team's confusing to me. And to be fair to C.J. Stroud, he threw just 66 passes with Diggs, Tank, and Nico on the field at the same time last year. And the whole offseason, we were like, wow, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs? That's awesome. Never happened. We literally never saw it. It's like Hollywood Brown, Rasheed Rice, and Xavier Worthy. It's never going to happen. Just kidding, kind of. Stafford completed only 46.5% of his red zone passes if you go over to the Rams last year. That was 32nd in the league. This is Matthew Stafford. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback. This is a Super Bowl winning guy. This is a guy who will be top 10 on a lot of passing, all-time passing lists. He was 32nd. Less than 50% of his red zone passes were completed. That's going to change this season, right? They added Devontae Adams for a reason. Sean McVay is not going to have that sort of pitiful red zone offense 2 years in a row. they're going to be able to come back. And I think if Matthew Stafford stays healthy, this is a Super Bowl contending team in the NFC. And then you've got the big one tonight, boys. This is a big one. Ravens Bills. Man, I am excited. It's weird. Josh Allen only averaged 233 passing yards a game, but he made up in the ground. He made up with his legs. I expect him to do that again today. I will tell you, Baltimore does have in my mind, the second best roster in the NFL, the first roster among AFC teams. I think they're the most talented AFC team on paper. And that goes to their defense too. Kyle Hamilton, Malachi Starks, we know what Roquan Smith, all those guys are going to Patrick, all those guys are going to be able to do for Baltimore today on defense. So it's going to be a tight knit game. But I think Baltimore does pull it out tonight, and I think it is a high scoring game. I like James Cook today. I would steer clear from Bills wide receivers.
I was going to ask, who would you start? Oh, if you had to pick, and this kind of leads into the next segment as well, Shakir or Coleman?
I would start Shakir because I'm going floor. I think ceiling play, if you're excited and you're in on the Coleman write-ups, because those Bills beat writers, man, they have been typing their fingers away about Keon Coleman. They are really excited about the way he's looked. And frankly, they need to be. If the Bills want to win a Super Bowl, they need Keon Coleman to be really good. Not great, not, you know, top 10, not even top 20, but they need him to be a trustable, certifiable 50 or 60 yards a game wide receiver. And I don't know if he's that. We'll see if he's that. And if you think he is and you're in on that, then start Coleman. I think Shakir is just a man coverage beater. I think he's good for at least 6 targets, more like 7, 8, or 9. So Shakir would be the wide receiver there for me for Ravens Bills. That does it for Max matchups. If you've got any questions about Vikings Bears, I'd love to answer you. I know we didn't get to that matchup, but it's time for starter sit. It's time to hear what you guys have to ask. I've got a few of them flooding in right now. Make sure you join the list and join the club here. 913-586-7965 to text into the J Southland Tow Service text line here at 96.5 The Fan and ask your questions on whether it's going to be Calvin Ridley or Jerry Jeudy. Little tease there for you here on Fantasy Football Sunday. 913-586-7965. I'm with you for another 20 minutes or so until we hand it off to the Binkster, Jay Binkley. It's the first Sunday, baby. Get excited. The NFL is back. I'm going to help you win your first fantasy football game today. Stay locked in on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football.
Start or sit.
That's right. The last 15 minutes of every Sunday here on Fantasy Football Sunday from 9 to 10 with myself, Mac Morey, and wonderful producer Jacob Mustard will be starter set. It'll be all you guys. So please text in 913-586-7965 to be a part of the show and to get your questions answered. Because I want to answer them. I want to help you win today. This is week one. Let's start 1-0. Let's get it. Let's wake up tomorrow, or wake up Tuesday rather, and let's see that record be 1-0. Because then when the waiver wire starts, you're more confident. Maybe you're a little further back on the list, but you just feel like you're a step up. These first 4 weeks in fantasy football are the most important. Our teams are the healthiest. So 816, 3 solid locks for any time touchdown today. Yeah. Not giving you betting advice, 816. That's a different show. It's fantasy football. 6-2-0, Tua, Nix, or Williams? I assume you mean Caleb Williams. Tua or Bo Nix? I'm going Bo Nix today. He's playing the Tennessee Titans. And I think that is a fortunate matchup for the Denver Broncos and for Bo Nix. So I would go Bo Nix. I think there's a chance for his legs to come into play today. I think he could get a rushing touchdown. It's at home in Denver. I think they're going to come out strong, and there's also a chance with that defense every week that they get a pick in the red zone, and Bo Nix just starts at the 5-yard line or 10-yard line or whatever it may be, because that defense is so, so good. So I'd go Bo Nix. I think Caleb Williams would be my second one. I'm just out on Tua and the Dolphins this year, 6-2-0. So that's me. Let's go. He's definitely going to be a little better, but there's definitely still issues in that team from the 816. Okay, from the 913, pick 2. Tet McMillan, Emeka Egbuka, Jameson Williams. These are fun players, right? These are guys that we've talked about all offseason. Tet McMillan, fifth overall pick for the Carolina Panthers. Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State, second round pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at wide receiver. And the reports on both of them have been glowing. If we had a three-stage podium for offseason rookie kings, Emeka Egbuka would probably be on the first. Tet McMillan might be on that third row. And you probably put Travion Henderson in second place. But you got two of the top three rookie hype train wide receivers in the offseason in this pick two. Let's choose one of them. Let's go Jameson Williams, the guy who just got paid, as kind of our floor pick in a game that I think is going to be high scoring today, Lions-Packers. And let's choose what we like more, Egbuka or McMillan. It's funny, Mustard's having the same question to me off the air. He said McMillan or Egbuka today. These are two rookie studs. These are guys that I like. And they're both playing defenses that aren't particularly good. So this is a really, really tough question for you, 913, and for you as well, Mustard. Let me just double check here because we've got the Panthers playing the Jags. Is that correct? Yes. And then the Bucks are playing the Falcons. Let's go Tet McMillan. I think he's a better overall player, too. And I think that's a hot take. Emeka Egbuka could be really, really good. But I think Tet McMillan could be a star. So let's go with Tet McMillan today. This is a tough one, but let's go with Tet McMillan today, 913. 816, Calvin Ridley or Jerry Jeudy? We talked about this earlier. I'm going to go Jerry Jeudy. Or I'm going to go Cal. Man, I don't like. I talked about this earlier, and I don't like either of these guys today. I like Ridley more, so I'm going to go Calvin Ridley. With that said, though, I could make a case for Jerry Jeudy in that he's playing a much better secondary, or a much worse secondary. A much better secondary for him. And for you, 816. You know, I'm changing my mind. Let's start Jerry Jeudy. You want to go with the experience. Joe Flacco is going to throw to his guy and Jerry Jeudy. He's going to throw to two guys. It's going to be Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku. This is a bad defense that they're facing in Cincinnati. They could actually score some points. I don't want to go with the rookie quarterback against that Denver defense today. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't want to go with a rookie quarterback against that elite defensive unit. 816, only question I have for me, Debo or DK? I don't like DK today, to be honest, man. I'm kind of off DK Metcalf today. I'm off of the Steelers on fantasy today. Give me Debo Samuel. He says, I feel like Metcalf's the answer, but wouldn't be surprised me if Debo was utilized really well in Washington. Me too, dude. I think there's a chance for rushing and passing for Debo. And frankly, I just like the matchup more today in the Giants. You know?
Oh, I just got a quick text. Yeah. Do you like McCaffrey? That's the
question.
Do you start him?
Do I like McCaffrey? We also have a question just above that in our text line about Brian Robinson. Guys, I don't know. Damn it. I told you to steer clear of McCaffrey because I didn't want to deal with it. And this is why. Forget every week. This Niners team is just... they don't follow the rules. What do you got, Mustard?
Well, so it's a buddy in my league. He goes, am I starting McCaffrey or should I throw in Tyrone Tracy?
Listen, you drafted Christian McCaffrey. The reports are that he's a go today. I think you have to go with him. You did this to yourself. Like, this is it. Yeah, you could start Tyrone Tracy in the future, but I think today... because here's the thing. Would you be more mad if Tyrone Tracy did well and McCaffrey didn't? Or if Tyrone Tracy did well or Tyrone Tracy didn't do well and McCaffrey did on your bench? You'd be pissed. I think you've got to start McCaffrey. And I think McCaffrey's a go today. So let's go with it. But again, I'm not confident. Is Tet McMillan an automatic start over Stephon Diggs or Calvin Ridley? Automatic, no. Automatic, no. But today... just checking through the Patriots, trying to make sure the Patriots Raiders. It's a terrible secondary. Terrible.
But you also got a 32-year-old wide receiver coming off an Achilles tear.
Yeah, I'd start with McMillan.
I hesitate on that.
I like Diggs this season, dude. I do. I really like Diggs this season, but I'd start Tet McMillan today. I will say, though, 913, if you're looking for a floor, I don't know the rest of your lineup today. If you need ceiling, go McMillan. But I think Diggs is going to score points today. Like, I think Diggs is a safe option. Ridley's more of a question mark. I think he'll get targets. It's just I don't know. Like, is Cam Ward going to be running for his life today? Like, how are the Titans play calling with Brian Callahan? Does anyone else even get open? Does Alec Ailmaner know how to run the routes correct? Like, I'm going to hold my horses on the Tennessee Titans just a little bit. Colston Loveland or Dalton Kincaid? Let's go with the Rook, baby. I think Caleb Williams, not only, okay, there's going to be two tight ends on the field all the time for Chicago. And you might ask yourself, well, Mac, that's not good. I want just one. I want it to be Loveland. I get you. But here's why that's good, because if they're running out of 12 personnel, that means they're utilizing their tight ends. That means they're important to their offense, and that means they're going to be running routes. And Loveland is the one that'll be running more routes than Cole Kmet, in my opinion, when they're on the field together, because he's a rookie. You're not trusting Loveland to seal an edge, okay? Not as a rookie. You're going to trust your guy in Cole Kmet. So give me Colston Loveland today over Dawson Knox. Let's go. Half PPR, start Olave or start Tracy?
Chris half Olave, PPR is what throws it.
Yeah, half PPR is what throws it, right? Tyron Tracy. I don't want to have the least amount of variables that I can count on in fantasy football is a lot of the time what I'm trying to do. That's the best way that I can describe it right now. So Spencer Rattler's an unknown. And frankly, it's kind of a known variable. He's hot ass. He's going to be throwing to his number wide receiver in Chris Olave. I don't know if I want to be able to have to deal with that. Right? Buda Baker's going to be near him. Like, I just don't know if I want to have to deal with that. Tyron Tracy's going to get the ball. He's just going to get the football.
Well, and you're also dealing with Scataboo, the backup running back, who during training camp also is dealing with, was it a hamstring injury? So, like, that's going to set him back, and he's already a rookie. Tracy was good last year in the system. Yeah. You know, new quarterback, but still, I mean, Russell Wilson's good at checkdowns.
Exactly. He likes checkdowns. He likes moon balls. They're going to want to establish a run today. Yeah, I kind of like Tyron Tracy today, man. And I just talked crap for 10 minutes about the Commanders' defense, so I kind of like Tyron Tracy. 816, Nick Chubb or Khalil Shakir? 913-586-7965. You got about a minute left to get your questions in. I'm off of Nick Chubb. I'm just scared about that whole situation. Give me Khalil Shakir. I think Khalil Shakir is a guy who's just going to get targets. I don't know about the yards, but if you're in a half or a full PPR league, I think Shakir's a pretty good floor player. I just think he is. Diggs or Pearsall from the 816? Stephon Diggs. I know we've got a Patriots fan over there, and Jacob Mustard's telling you, 32, coming off an ACL, whatever it may be. I like the reports. I like what I've seen from Diggs in the videos, and I love Drake May. I love the Patriots. I'm a little, maybe even more biased than the Patriots fan here, because I'm just so in on New England this season. Having a kind of reformative season all in all, and just kind of being a different looking team. So I would go that direction in Stephon Diggs, but I can see where you're going with Ricky Pearsall. He could be the number one wide receiver for a team that is contending for the playoffs and contending for their division. Half PPR flex, Jerome Ford or Sutton. We'll go with Sutton on that one, but again, I don't love either option there from the 816. But hey, that's it for Fantasy Football Sunday. Had a great time today, man. It was awesome. We got a lot to go, and each week again, I will be here, so make sure you text in your start or sit questions. I'm going to be going through my matchups. I'll help you on the waiver wire as well starting next week to kind of find a gap, find a crease, find an opening for you to make a push in your matchup from week to week. And make sure you at me on Twitter, MacJMorey25, MacMorey on Twitter. That's Fantasy Football Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Chiefs football. Here comes Jay Binkley.